are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. So glad that you tuned in today. There is a joy in my heart today. And man, I hope you guys can feel it today. I am so excited just to be here tonight. A couple of things working in my favor as far as the podcast, and I'm excited because video will soon be up. I'm going to be recording, or should I say attempting to record, the first video. Well, not the first, because at one point I did have the video portion, but this will be the second go round of having the videos available. The first video I did was went pretty well, and I'm hoping that this video that I'm getting ready to do on Saturday, and hopefully it'll be ready for you guys next week. I'm trying a couple of things out, and I'm just excited. I am happy about what God is doing. I'm scared, a tad bit worried, but I know worry's not of God. but like I am excited about what God is doing, and it's crazy because as soon as I hit the record button, this joy just overtook me, man. And I know it's all God, and I know that God has some amazing things for me. I just heard an amazing word. And it blessed me so much. And just today has been a day, that just has been amazing. Amazing. So I want to talk to you guys today. So last week we talked about mind damage, right? And last week we talked about, mind damage and the things that in life that can cause damages to our mind, and the things that control our brain and our thoughts and all this kind of stuff. And today I want to kind of do a part two a little bit to that, but today we're going to talk about it's in your head. I want to take you guys on a little bit of a journey. Okay. I remember, it was a little bit before I got a divorce. I met with this amazing, powerful, couple, who said something to me that didn't come into effect until recently. And I'll tell you that as soon as I move into it, but, they told me a very important statement that I am just now, it's just now kind of starting to make sense to me. And that statement was simply this. They told me that my viewpoint of God was having an impact on my viewpoint in my relationship. And I thought about that, and at the time it made sense, but it didn't click, right? And it's crazy how words spoken to you sometimes don't make sense right then in the moment, but it makes sense later down the line. And I remember, and I remember when they said that to me, it hit me But it didn't turn over. It didn't spark anything in me as far as an action, but it did hit me. I do remember the statement. I do remember the conversation. And I remember how that statement made me kind of think at the moment as far as my thought process of God. And then recently, about, oh man, it's been some weeks now. I would say this is probably third or fourth week. I've been going back to therapy. And anybody who's been with me since the very beginning when I started this podcast, you already know that, the first podcast I talked about was Depression Was a Thief and how I struggled with depression for a very period of time. And I started to feel that again when I came back here. And I remember those words that was spoken to me about my viewpoint of God in a therapy session that I just had, not this last one, but the one before last. And the guy was, I was telling the guy about my recent dating and the troubles that I have with it and the heartache and the hurts and the pains. And I was telling him about it and, the different just hiccups and hangups and all these types of feelings that I was having because of these botched, either dating and it could have been my fault, whoever, right? And I remember him let me go back because I want this to make sense to the overall point that I want to bring up today. Y'all just hang with me. I promise you we're gonna crash this thing and bring it in for a landing in a minute. Me and him were talking about these troubles that I was having. And then as I began to tell him about these troubles and about these difficulties, he always asks me the same questions. He says, "Do you have any feelings of worthlessness?" And I said, you know, at that time I said, yes. He says, "Helplessness." I said, "Yes." "Hopelessness." I said, "Yes." And we talked about some of my other struggles and things like that I had. And he says, "Do you feel secure?" And I said, "No, I don't. I'm very insecure about myself, insecure about my body, insecure about who I am as a person." He said, "Okay." He says, "Do you think this is of God?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, well, "Do you think God wants good things for you?" And I said, "No, I don't think he wants good things for me." He says, "What do you think he wants bad things for you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he says, "Well, why do you think that?" Well, growing up, I always assumed that whenever bad things happened, that the bad things were the will of God. And that God wanted bad things to happen to me. And he says, "Why do you feel that way? Why do you feel like God does not want you to have good things? Why do you feel like God does not want you to prosper? Why do you feel like God does not want you to succeed? Like, why do you feel this way? Why do you have these feelings? Why do you feel like he does not want you to be well and succeed and to be treated right by your partner, by somebody that you date? Why do you feel like you deserve to be treated badly?" She says, "Is it because the bad things that you may have done in your life?" And I said, yes, that plays a big part of it. And he says, but do you believe that you're forgiven for that? And I said to him, I know that it says that I am, but I don't feel like I am. And I remember one day my pastor was preaching, and he said to me, he said, and he wasn't saying it directly to me, but one of the things that he said was, lift your hands and believe God has forgiven you. And I couldn't do it. Like I could not lift my hands and say that God forgave me. I said it, but I didn't believe it, because I believed that he was mad at me. I believed that he was frustrated and that he was so disappointed in me, and that he was so hurt by me not being perfect, and this pressure of me having to be perfect and to dot every I and cross every T and to do everything right was just so overwhelming. And so I thought that because I wasn't perfect, I was messing up all the time, and I was making mistakes everywhere, and I felt like a failure, divorce failure, child, you know, you feel like, you know, if you're a dad, sometimes you feel like your children love their mom more than you. And I felt like I was a failure because I felt like my son didn't love me. You know what I mean? And I wasn't being a perfect dad, so he's not gonna like me no more. And all of these just feelings, right? And these emotions and this negative, just all these things just weighed on my mind. I'm lonely. I don't have no adult to talk to. Don't have a lot of friends. And all of these things just started eating away at me. And when the therapist was asking me about my worth and how I felt about myself, and he says, how do you feel about yourself? Do you feel like you have good self-esteem? I said, I don't. And he said to me again, why do you feel like you don't deserve to be treated well? Why do you feel like God doesn't want you to be treated well? Why do you feel that way? Why do you feel like that God just always wants bad things to happen to you? And I said, man, it's just how I view God. It's just that God is this great big deity that just wants bad things to happen to me. And he challenged me to change my perspective of God, to change how I thought about God. Man, he challenged me to change my perception of him, and to change how I thought of him and how I viewed him. He challenged me to change my eyesight and my thinking process of God and who God is. And here's the deal with that, right? Here's the deal when it comes to changing your perspective and what you see, of God, and how you hear him, and how you process him, and how you process your thinking of him. It will cause you to rethink how some of your previous how your previous, I don't want to say ancestors, but how you were brought up in regards to how you view God, right? Because I viewed him as this man looking for me to make a mistake all the time. And he's ready with his belt to always punish me for every little thing that I did wrong. And it caused me to just view him as just this mean, evil person. And as long as I was perfect, he loved me. But the moment I made a mistake, I don't think he loved me. Which caused me to have a misconception of love, which also caused me to have a misconception of relationship. Because my relationship is based, was always based upon perfection. And if it wasn't perfect, it must have been wrong. So what is my overall point? My overall point is that this thinking was in my head. It was in my head. It was not reality. It was not what was true. It was not what was real. I had made it real because it was in my head, but it was not what God wanted. It was not his will. It was not his purpose. It was not what he desired of me in, for me in my life. I viewed him from a dirty lens. I viewed him from a dirty thought process, and so many things, because of mind damage, like I talked about last week, clouded my judgment of him, and it clouded my mind of him, and it made me view him with this rigorous mind that he was waiting in heaven to cut me down because I was so wrong and I couldn't be perfect. But I just, tonight, as I record this, I want to challenge your perspective of him. I want to challenge how you think about him. And don't get me wrong. I by no means am I saying that everything in your life will always be perfect, and that it will always be great, and that you won't, that trials aren't a part of your life. The Bible talks about how trials are there. They're going to be there. The righteous are going to suffer affliction. The Bible talks about many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all, right? And those that live godly shall suffer persecution, right? The Bible talks about, you know, suffering and you being you suffering with Christ, and you being persecuted because of your faith. And the Bible talks about these things, but it does not say it is his will. Understand, it is not his will, but it is what happens because of the evil of this world and because of sin that has gone through this world, and because life is what life is, and that sometimes we make bad decisions, and sometimes we get ourselves in situations that have consequences and have bad things happen to us, but it is not necessarily the will of God for your life. It is not necessarily the will of God for your life. It is not necessarily what God wants for you. It is not what God wants for you. When the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil," to bring you into an expected end. What he was saying to Israel, because Israel had gotten caught up in sin, and God had allowed them to go into bondage for 70 years, and because of this, Israel is in bondage not because it is God's will. No, they are in bondage because of their own doing, but that was not the will, oh my God, of God. My his will is, man, it is not God's will that Peter says, in Peter, I can't remember if it's 2 Peter or 1 Peter, it says, it is not the will of God that any should perish. God does not want you lost. God does not want you hurt. God does not want you in pain. The ailments of our body was never his intent. It was never his intent. It was never his intent. It wasn't until sin creeped in and it ushered in sickness and it ushered in these frailties in our body. But that's why Jesus came and he healed the sick and he raised the dead and he blessed people and he preached to people because that was the will of God. And the will of God was to reconcile us back to God. It was to bring us back to him through Jesus Christ. Yes, man, it is not the will of God for you to suffer. It wasn't the will of God for you, your feelings to be hurt. It wasn't the will of God for them not to appreciate you. It was not the will of God for them to hurt your feelings. But what God decided to do was to use that bad to get you to an expected end because he knew the good thoughts that he had towards you. He knew the good. He knew the good. He knew the good. He knew what was good for you. He has good thoughts for you. But because of how you think, man, because of how you think, it affects your viewpoint of God. And because of how you think is affecting your viewpoint of God, it is causing you not to believe in him. Because you believe it was his will. It wasn't his will. His will was good for you. He wanted good to happen to you. He wanted you blessed. He wanted you favored. He wanted you whole. He wanted you great. God, that's how God viewed. His thoughts towards you are good. They're good. So that's why Paul says, man, I want to read it to y'all again. I want to read it to y'all again. I want to read the scripture to y'all again. I want to read this to you again because the reason I want to read this to you again, what Paul said in Romans chapter 11 is because it's so powerful, man. It's so powerful. Let me pull this up real quick. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the good, the acceptable and perfect will of God? You can't prove it in the earth because of how you think about God. Your mind has to be renewed. It has to be regenerated. You have to change the way you think. The reason you are dealing with somebody who don't appreciate you and celebrate you and love on you and support you and does right by you, you are dealing with that because of how you think of God. You have to rethink what God has. God, that is not what God has for you. So what do we have to do? We have to change the way we think. My brother and my sister, I propose to you that the issues, some of them are so severe because it's in your head that it can't change. It's in your head that God won't deliver. It's in your head that he can't heal. It's in your head that he can't bring you out. It's in your head. It's in your head, honey. Honey, it's in your head. God is saying if you can just change how you think and change your perspective of me and put me back where I am supposed to be in your life, you would believe again. You would believe and unlock the key to the spiritual realm that you need to access to get what you need. You got to change how you think. And before your actions can change, oh my God, because the scripture says, whatsoever man thinketh, that shall he be. Now, and that's in Proverbs chapter 23 and 7. Now, the context of that is important. The context of that scripture is he's telling somebody to stay away from evildoers, right? And he's saying you have to stay away from that because they think evil, and because they think evil, they will be evil, and you can't trust somebody who's evil. He's saying the evil man is evil because he thinks evil. He can't think right. He can't think prosperous. He can't think being whole. He can't think to do right. And because he cannot think it, and he's always evil and perverse in his mind, he is then a product of what he thinks. Some of us can't get past humps because of what we think. Some of us are struggling because of what we think. God is saying to us, it's in your head. It's in your head. The devil has attacked your head. Look. Last example. When Jesus delivered the man who was possessed with the legion, the Bible says that the man with the legion, he was so possessed that chains could not hold him. The Bible says that the man would take rocks, and he was in so much torture, he would cut himself with the rocks. The Bible says not only could chains not hold him, the Bible says not only did he cut himself with rocks, but the Bible says he dwelled in graveyards. Meaning, the man slept in a cemetery. But when Jesus delivered him, notice, it said that when they came back, when the people of the town came to see Jesus, they saw the man clothed and in his right mind. Funny story, back in the day in testimony service, they would say, I'm clothed in my right mind. But the scripture says he was clothed and in his right mind. In other words, when God delivered him, when Jesus delivered him, he delivered his mind as well. He was in his right mind, because you're not in your right mind if you're sleeping in graveyards. You're not in your right mind when you're cutting yourself. You're not in your right mind when chains can't hold you and you breaking chains and throwing people around. You ain't in your right mind. You're not in your right mind. Jesus is saying some of us are not in our right mind. And I don't mean that facetious. I'm so serious. We're not in my right mind. Some of the things that even I deal with and suffer with, whether it be depression, whether it be low self-esteem, whether it be insecurities, not in my right mind. Some of y'all put up with Negroes treating y'all any old way because you're not in your right mind. Some of y'all men deal with women who don't treat you right because you're not in your right mind. Some of y'all abuse y'all kids because you're not in your right mind. Some of y'all kids disobey your parents because they're not in their right mind. God is saying, when you change the way you think, you change your actions. You change how you believe. You change how you walk. You change how you talk. When you change your mind. Some of you always misinterpreting everything somebody says to you because you're not in your right mind. Some of you take everything everybody says so literally because you're not in your right mind. God is saying, oh man, some of you deal with certain things and think that it's the will of God because you're not in your right mind. You're not in your right mind. Come on, huh? Jesus is saying, I want you to change the way you think. So well, David, does that mean that you, that I should, because it's hard, I should leave? No. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there's a difference in suffering because you're trying to get to a purpose and suffering because you just suffering. There is no purpose in depression. God did not will for you to be in depressed. His word tells you, man, look at what his word says. His word says, be anxious for nothing. The word anxious means worry. He says, don't you worry about nothing. You should not be worried about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, you should get and with thanksgiving unto God, and you should be giving it to God, and then God will give you peace that passes all understanding. That's his word. That's what his will is. That's what his good will is for you. But you got to change how you think. You got to change how you think. Got to change it. That's the only way you're going to get better. That's the only way things will get better. That's the only way things will start to change in your life. Is when you change the way you think. And you change the way you think by changing what you speak. Some of you think you're dumb because you speak it. Some of us, myself included, are anxious. We're anxious because, and we suffer from anxiety because we profess anxiety. But God is saying, watch this. If you change what you speak, you'll change what you think. And if you change what you think, your actions will follow. And I'm done. Again, I hope I said something to you that blessed you. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for my brother. I thank you for my sister. I thank you, God, for blessing them to be here and to listen to this podcast. Father, I just ask that you bless them, bless that this word goes into them. And I pray that you help us to change our minds. I'm asking, God, that you help us to change what's in our head, and God, what's in our mind, and help us to view you in a different lens. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, I hope and pray that I said something that could bless you. I hope and pray that I said something that could deliver you, and that makes you feel better, and that makes you feel whole, and that makes you feel at peace, and makes you feel loved. I really do. And I pray that you continue to grow in God. And I'm your partner, man. And I'm praying for you. And, I just wish the absolute best for you, because that is what God wishes. And I thank you. I'm sorry. That's not what God wishes. That is his will for you. That's his will, man. And I pray for you. Be blessed. Please like, share, subscribe, share this with somebody, bless somebody with it. And I hope that it blesses you and keeps you. And until we meet again, peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.